Hi there, this is John from the Free Gift from God podcast. I'm continuing on with the item that I began in the last podcast, where I was looking at the issues that Christians are struggling with that came out of a survey that I ran last year on my website. The first of the issues I covered last time, which was people who were lacking in discipline. In this episode, I'll look at the second highest one that came through, and it was about their ability to focus on Jesus. This was the second highest priority, and 14% of people responded in this way. Now, when it comes to focus on Jesus, there are a few points that need to be covered. But first, I want you to think about a story out of the Bible. It's the story in Luke chapter 10, verse 38 to 42, which was the story about Mary and Martha. And it was about focusing on Jesus. And it reads like this, out of Luke 10, verse 38 to 42. It says, "Now as they went on their way, Jesus entered a village, and a woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, who sat at the Lord's feet and listened to his teaching. But Martha was distracted with much serving, and she went up to him and said, 'Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Tell her then to help me.' But the Lord answered her, 'Martha, Martha, you are anxious and troubled about many things, but one thing is necessary. Mary has chosen the good portion, which will not be taken away from her.'" Now, as we look at this scripture and these verses, what we see is that Martha was not focused on Jesus because she was focused on serving. She was focused on making the afternoon teas and cooking things up and ensuring all of the guests in the house were comfortable. But Mary was focused on hearing the word of Jesus. And as Jesus said, that was a good portion. So focusing on Jesus is a very important thing, which brings us to our first point. Are people, are Christians today, not focusing on Jesus because they're too busy? And we've only got to think about the busyness of the world today with all of the myriad of things that are going on, the many things you can get involved in, the constant noise that's in the background all of the time, to be able to see that, yeah, perhaps people are finding they're too busy. So there are some things that we need to think about. Look at Martha's situation. Was Martha too busy serving to spend time listening? And in amongst Christians, are Christians spending too much time trying to serve the Lord without actually sitting down and listening to what he had to say? And so they feel as though they're not focusing. They feel as though they're constantly tied up doing things rather than learning things. We look at another thing about being too busy, and we think about the pursuit of wealth in the world today. If there was ever any god in this world today, that god is money. And that's the god of the world. The god of the world is money today. Now, you know, I'm talking in very high terms. So we know that the god of the world is not money. It's actually the devil. And, of course, there is God, who is the god of the new kingdom. But a person who is focused on wealth is not focused on Jesus. And we see this over in the book of Luke, chapter 12, verses 16 to 21, where it says this. "And he told them a parable, saying, 'The land of a rich man produced plentifully. And he thought to himself, "What shall I do? For I have nowhere to store my crops." And he said, "I will do this. I will tear down my barns and build larger ones. And there I will store all my grain and my goods. And I will say to my soul, "Soul, you have ample goods laid up for many years. Relax, eat, drink, be merry." But God said to him, "Fool, this night your soul is required of you. And the things you have prepared, whose will they be?" So is the one who lays up treasure for himself and is not rich towards God. Now what we see here, we see a man who is incredibly wealthy. He has barns, he has stores, he has all these sorts of things, and he's grown more. His wealth has grown enormously. And so what's he doing? He's going to tear down his barns and build larger ones. He's focused on bigger and better and stronger and larger. And isn't that an accurate description of the way people are today? They want the latest gadgets. They want the latest and the greatest. They want what's better than anyone else. And advertising feeds that. And we see things like whenever, say, a new phone gets introduced into the marketplace. People will line up outside the stores, sometimes for days, waiting for the store to open so they can actually go in there and be the first to purchase this new phone. Is it any better? Does it do any more? Well, probably it does. But the fact of the matter is the majority of people who use modern phones and, you know, modern tablets and modern computers are only using a fraction of what's there anyway. So do they really need it? Well, no. They'll be able to get it a couple of days later and they won't have to stand in a queue or stay out in the cold. But these are some of the things that people are focused on. Now, if this person is a Christian and they're focused on making money, and we know within the Christian church there is a movement amongst some of the churches with this prosperity gospel that they preach, where they are forcing Christians to focus on money by saying that money is the measure of their Christian walk, of their Christian standing, which is an absolute load of rubbish. So don't be focused on money. If you happen to be one of these Christians who's focused on money, then you can't be focused on money and focused on Christ. And as the Bible says, you cannot serve God and mammon being a Semitic word for riches. You can't serve God and serve wealth. You can't do both. The Bible says so. So focus your attention on Christ rather than on wealth, because by focusing on Christ, you have a future. You have an eternity. Focusing on money, your money could be gone tomorrow. You've only got to think of the Great Depression or any of the recessions to see how money is so feeble, it just disappears. There are other things that people get focused on too that could be causing them to be too busy. And we see this over in Ecclesiastes chapter 1, verses 1 to 11, which says, "The words of the preacher, the son of David, king in Jerusalem." Of course, this is Solomon who's writing these words. "Vanity of vanities," says the preacher. "Vanity of vanities. All is vanity. What does a man gain by all the toil at which he toils under the sun? A generation goes and a generation comes, but the earth remains forever. The sun rises and the sun goes down and hastens to the place where it rises. The wind blows to the south and goes around to the north. Around and around and around goes the wind, and on its circuits the wind returns. All streams run to the sea, but the sea is not full. To the place where the streams flow, there they flow again. All things are full of weariness. A man cannot utter it. The eye is not satisfied with seeing, nor the ear filled with hearing. What has been is what will be, and what has been done is what will be done, and there is nothing new under the sun. Is there a thing of which it is said, 'See, this is new'? It has been already in the ages before us. There is no remembrance of former things, nor will there be any remembrance of later things, yet to be among those who come after." Now, the words of Solomon here is great wisdom. And he says, everything is vanity. All things are vanity. And by that, he's saying, it doesn't matter what there is on this earth. And he's talking specifically about the things of the earth. It's all in vain. Because nothing lasts. Everything is temporary. Everything is temporal. Everything wears out. Everything runs down. Everything ages and falls apart eventually. And so it's all vanity. And even the works that people do. You think about houses that were built and the buildings that were built 100 years ago. The majority of them have disappeared because they've fallen down or they've been destroyed or they've been bulldozed to make new and bigger buildings or bigger barns like that last scripture showed. And all of these things are vanity. And I can go to places when I was a kid and find the houses and the properties and the buildings are gone. And, of course, there's always a handful that get held over because of heritage listing and things like that. But that's really a modern thing. In old days, they didn't care. They just tore them down and they built new ones. So all things are vanity. Everything to do with work is vanity. And if you're focused on those things, then you're focused on vanity. And, I mean, even vanity is a vanity. You know, people who are vain, who believe that they need to look a certain way and feel a certain way and dress a certain way, which is all aspects of vanity, don't understand that it is in vain. It doesn't matter whether you wear Gucci or whether you wear something out of a $2 shop. It doesn't matter. As long as your body's covered and you're warm and you're able to withstand the environment that's around you, that's what matters. All is vanity. Now, there's another aspect here where people get caught up in things. And this is another way that people can become too busy. And we see this over in the book of Matthew, chapter 13, verse 22, which is part of the parable of the sower. And in that scripture, in Matthew 13, 22, it says, "As for what was sown among thorns, this is he who hears the word But the cares of the world and the delight in riches choke the word, and it proves unfruitful. Now, he's talking about Christians here. This is where the word has been sown, and people have heard it, they've listened to it, and they've said, yes, this is something that I want. But then things get in the way. Instead of going to church on Sunday, they get invited to a barbecue. Or instead of going to a Bible study on a Wednesday night, there's a great film that they wanted to see, or there's a new documentary they want to see. And instead of sitting and studying their Bible, they find that, I need to take the kids to soccer practice, or I want to practice playing the guitar or the ukulele or whatever. And there's always something else that they get focused on. And these are the cares of the world. And it's not just the cares and delights of the world, it's also the negative things. Things go wrong. And if we focus on the things that go wrong, then we're also focusing not on Jesus, but we're focusing on other things. And we get too busy, and we can't do all the things. And something's got to give, something's got to go. The people who choose to focus on the thorns, on these other things, will not focus on Jesus. What they don't understand, though, is if you focus on Jesus, those other things will be resolved. So that's the first point. Are they too busy? The second point is, do some Christians today believe that they need to be on 24/7? Now, by this I mean, do they think that they have to be like super Christians 24/7? Now, you can do this, and it is possible to do this, but not to be like a super spiritual Christian all of the time. And there are people out there that I've met who seem to be like that. Now, one of the things we see over in the book of Colossians, in chapter 3, verses 17 to 24, is these words. And whatever you do, in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Wives, submit to your husbands as is fitting in the Lord. Husbands, love your wives and do not be harsh with them. Children, obey your parents in everything, for this pleases the Lord. Fathers, do not provoke your children, lest they become discouraged. Bondservants, obey in everything those who are your earthly masters, not by way of eye service as people pleasers, but with sincerity of heart, fearing the Lord. Whatever you do, and this is the key verse here, verse 23, whatever you do, work heartily as for the Lord and not for men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the inheritance as your reward. You are serving the Lord Christ. This is the key, these last couple of verses. Whatever you do, doesn't matter what you do, work heartily as though you're working for the Lord and not for men. There's that old saying that says, when the cat's away, the mice will play. So if you work for a boss and the boss is away, don't slack off. Don't work differently if he was there to the way you would work if he's not there. You should always work as though he's there, doing the best that you can, doing the best possible work you can, and doing it with enthusiasm. Because that's how you'd work if you had the Lord standing in front of you. Whatever you do, work heartily. And that's with enthusiasm and joy and working as though the Lord is standing there right in front of you. And you're not working for men. And we need to do this all the time. Now, by doing this, you're working, but you're not being super spiritual about it. You're just working. You're just doing whatever you're doing. And it's the same in your relationships. The start of that scripture talked about wives and husbands and children and so on. And in your relationships, you need to treat people as the golden rule says, do unto others as you would have them do unto you. Treat people as though you were dealing with the Lord. Treat people with respect, with honour, with love, with compassion, with joy, with mercy, and so on, as though you were treating people as if they were the Lord Jesus Christ himself. So you don't have to be on like a super spiritual Christian 24/7. And if we think about someone like Paul, a lot of people think that Paul was on 24/7. We read all this stuff about him in Acts and in the various letters that he wrote. But the reality is you can sit down and you can read all of the works of Paul, including the book of Acts, which describes a lot of his life, in a few hours. Okay, if you read all of his books, in a few hours. But those books span a period of life that might have been, 40, 50, 60, 70 years. We're not sure. Don't know how old Paul was when he eventually died. But what we see in Acts chapter 18, verses 1 to 3, it says, after this, Paul left Athens and went to Corinth. and he found a Jew named Aquila, a native of Pontus, recently come from Italy with his wife Priscilla, because Claudius had commanded all the Jews to leave Rome, and he went to see them. And because he was of the same trade, he stayed with them and worked, for they were tent makers by trade. So what we see here is we see that Paul wasn't this super spiritual person all of the time. He had to work. He worked with them as tent makers, and we know that he stayed with them for a couple of years. And he worked as a tent maker, and so, you know, when he was working, he was dealing with all his business dealings. He was, you know, buying cloth and sewing it and putting it together and then selling and dealing and bargaining with his customers and all this sort of stuff. And that's what he was doing a lot of the time, because he needed to do that to eat, to buy clothes, to do all the other things he had to do. He needed the money to be able to travel and do the work that he was doing for the Lord. Now, I'm absolutely certain that when he did this, he was working as a tent maker as if he was working for the Lord anyway. He was doing what was pleasing to the Lord. But he wasn't being the super spiritual person that a lot of people seem to try to be today. You don't have to be on, switched on, 24/7, but you do need to do everything as though you're serving the Lord. Now, the third point about these people who are concerned about their inability to focus on Jesus is, do they not know you can serve Christ by serving others? Now, we see this over in Matthew chapter 25, verses 31 to 46. And what it says is this: when the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the angels with him, then he will sit on his glorious throne. Before him will be gathered all the nations, and he will separate people one from another as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. And he will place the sheep on his right, but the goats on the left. Then the king will say to those on his right, come, you who are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you welcomed me. I was naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came to me. Then the righteous will answer him, saying, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you drink? And when did we see you a stranger and welcome you, or naked and clothe you? And when did we see you sick or in prison and visit you? And the king will answer them, truly I say to you, as you did it to one of the least of these, my brothers, you did it to me. Now, this is an interesting fact that that we are being shown here. By serving the Lord, we serve the Lord when we serve others, acting in the love of God, when we are showing the love of God through compassion and peace and joy and helping the people of the Lord or helping others, then we're actually serving God. We're actually serving the Lord. This is how we serve the Lord, because this is how we show the love of God to other people. And we see that there is a great benefit in this, because there in verse 40 of that section says, truly I say to you, as you did it to one of the least of these, my brothers, you did it to me. But it goes on and says, then he will say to those on his left, depart from me, you cursed, into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry and you gave me no food. I was thirsty and you gave me no drink. I was a stranger and you did not welcome me, naked and you did not clothe me, sick and in prison and you did not visit me. Then they also will answer, saying, Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or naked or sick or in prison and did not minister to you? Then he will answer them, saying, truly I say to you, as you did not do it to one of the least of these, you did not do it to me. And these will go away into eternal punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. Now, if you think about the parable of the Good Samaritan, and you think about what the Samaritan did, and the two religious people, what they didn't do, then you begin to understand the power and the strength of this particular scripture. Because the Good Samaritan, he provided for the man who was in need. And we can do the same. If we come across someone who's in need, we can provide for them. We can help them in whatever way we can. But if we choose to cross the road and walk by down the other side, as the two religious people did in that Good Samaritan parable, then we are doing what the goats do in this. Because they would say, when did we see you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or naked or sick or in prison and did not minister to you? And he says, truly I say to you, as you did not do it to one of the least of these, you did not do it to me. And they will be punished for it. And this is one of the things that we need to learn. So when it comes to focusing on Jesus, you need to understand that if you're serving others, if you're doing to others as you would have them do unto you, then you are serving the Lord. And if you are serving the Lord in this way, then you are actually focused on Jesus. These people didn't even know that they were serving the Lord when they were doing these things. So they probably could have been arguing with themselves, oh, I'm not focused on Jesus enough, I'm not focused on God enough, as many of these Christians who answered my survey have said, without realising that they were actually serving Christ by serving others. And there's another thing too that we need to think about, and that's over in Proverbs chapter 16, verse 3, which says, and this comes back to your work, it comes back to your busyness, it comes back to your ability to be able to serve other people. It says in Proverbs 16, verse 3, commit your work to the Lord and your plans will be established. So if you are in business of some kind, even if you're not, if you make plans to do something, don't just make your plan, commit your work to the Lord. Commit your plans to the Lord and they will be established. And he will lead you along the path that he wants you to take. So in relation to these people who answered saying that they have trouble focusing on Jesus, let's just talk for a second about why this is important. Firstly, the things of the world will distract us if we let them. And that's a given. In this modern society, there are so many things out there that can distract us that we need to take power over those things and we need to stand against those things. Secondly, you don't have to be on. You don't have to be switched on 24/7. And we saw that in the case of Paul. I mean, the apostles were too. They still did other things. They still worked. They walked from town to town. And when they were walking from town to town, I'm sure they weren't switched on and jumping in the air and screaming out hallelujah and all this sort of stuff, as some of these super Christians do today. I say that in inverted commas. So you don't need to be on, but you do need to commit your work to the Lord, whatever your task is. And finally, how you live your life day to day is how you serve Christ. When someone comes to you and there is an issue or there is a problem and they need help, how you deal with that and what you do is another way that you serve Christ. So, do you feel that you are not focused on Jesus? Would you be one of the people who answered saying, oh, I'm not focused enough on Jesus? Do you feel that way? Well, if you feel that way, try this. Try putting all of your requests to the Lord before you do anything, which was that Proverbs 16:3. Commit your work to the Lord and your plans will be established. Try doing that first. And make time daily for the Lord to pray, to study, to read. Do it while you're walking. Do it while you're driving. Do it while you're in the shower. Do it at lunchtime at work. Do it whenever you can. But make time to be able to spend some time with Jesus, to focus on him. And don't condemn yourself over the fact that you're not focused on Jesus 24/7, because you've still got a life that you have to live. So that's a wrap-up of the second issue that was raised in the survey that I put out there. We'll look at the third one in the next episode that's coming up shortly.